Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Carol Murphy, your host, and our guest this evening is Laura Bender. In just a moment, Laura will be back and tell you all about what she's up to. She's actually speaking with us from Missoula, Montana today. You can always email us also at heartstockradio@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook. We'll be right back with Laura Bender. Hello, this is Carol Murphy, your host, and you're listening to Heartstock Radio. Thank you so much for listening. This evening, we are speaking with Laura Bender. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you, Carol?
I am great, and I hear it's snowing in Missoula, or at least you got a good dusting today.
We did. We got a great amount of snow, and gee, it was sure hard to get out of my driveway today, but I made it. I feel so proud.
So please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do in Missoula.
Okay. Well, what would you like to know about me, Carol?
Well, just a brief intro to start with, and then we always love to hear our guests' personal story, like where you grew up and all of that. But let's just start out with kind of a basic intro of who is Laura Bender and what you do.
Okay. Well, that's because I'm a master meditation teacher. Well, always when I hear the word, who is Laura Bender, I go, Oh.
It's a deep question, isn't it, for a meditation teacher?
So my title is I'm a mind-body fitness trainer and I'm a dream builder coach. I own Bodies and Soul by Bender here in Missoula. I was the first woman in the state of Montana to have a highly successful personal training business, and I opened my business in 1989. And essentially, I evolved, as we all do, as the years went on. I'm 60 years old now, and I began to recognize that there was so much more to having a fit body and a healthy life than being in a weight room. So essentially, by and by, and over the years, I trained and studied with Deepak Chopra and Mary Morrissey and Dr. Kenneth Cooper and some of the greats in mind-body industry and in fitness. And essentially, I created Bodies and Soul by Bender. So that's a little bit about me.
So I hope that our listeners are as intrigued as I am, because meditation has been a part of my life for some time, and I can honestly say I'm always amazed at what I become because of meditation over time. And I'm hoping that you can share, before we kind of delve into the whole meditation thing, let's talk more about your personal journey, like where you grew up, what that experience was like, because I really, for myself and so many of our guests, that really helps us know you better and see kind of where you are in relation to all of that that happened before.
Great. Thank you for asking. I grew up on a 175-acre ranch in a place called Sunny Valley, Oregon, in Southern Oregon. And I grew up in a family of, there are four kids in my family. I hesitate because my dad was married before I married my mother. But there are four kids in my family. There were three girls and one boy, and I'm the youngest in the pecking order. Daddy was a long-haul trucker, and Mama ran a planer and a cabinet factory, so she worked in factories my whole life. We didn't grow up with a whole lot of money, but we grew up with a whole lot of love. And one thing I learned very, very young was how to be an entrepreneur. So I learned that if I wanted to go to the fair, I had to get fair money. And if I wanted to walk to the store and get a popsicle in the summer, well, my sister Vicky and I, we would walk to the store and collect pop bottles along the way. And in Oregon at that time, and even now, I believe, glass is recyclable and pop bottles are recyclable. So Vicky and I grew up picking blackberries, and Mama would sell them at her factory. And that's how we got money to go to the fair. And then we'd also, you know, walk to the store and collect pop bottles. And if we had a whole lot of money, we'd get a pop. And if we didn't have a whole lot, we'd buy penny candy and popsicles. So that's how I grew up, really. I had an entrepreneurial spirit. I was a little kid that had a learning disability. I was dyslexic. So I didn't really learn how to read until I was in third grade. And the people who were great influencers for me were people who really believed in me. And, you know, my mom, she was a smart lady. She saw that I was kind of a wild little kid. I've always had a whole lot of energy. So she got me involved with 4-H really young. And I think she also saw that I had a learning disability. So I learned how to raise my pony and break my pony and later my horse. Little kid competing in 4-H shows and winning them. So I learned at a very young age through the vehicle 4-H, which, by the way, I will tell all of you, it's such an amazing program, and it's amazing for kids. I learned how to speak to groups. I learned how to be a really good community person, and I learned to be disciplined. And I learned, you know, the power of being a graceful winner and a graceful loser. So essentially, that's where I started, and a great influencer for me was my 4-H leader, and another great influencer for me along the way is I had some really wonderful teachers who really believed in me.
How did all of that lead to meditation? When did you really discover that meditation would be a part of your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I grew up in a place in the 60s and early 70s, mostly, you know, the early 70s, but kids were hitchhiking up the I-5 corridor and starting communes around 1967 and, you know, the early 70s. And I grew way up in the boonies. And I think there were communes on all three sides of me. And the kids would come up into the country and they would build teepees, and they didn't know what they were doing. You know, they wanted to live on the land. And part of that was meditation and yoga. And when I was about 15 years old, I would get on my horse and ride from commune to commune. And that's really how I started learning about meditation. Is there was a professor who was a professor at Berkeley, and he was a hippie and took his wife and his kids to Sunny Valley, Oregon, and started a commune there. And it was actually featured in Life magazine, and they were called the Trestle People. And their commune was based on Quaker philosophy. And the people in the commune meditated. And so that's really how I learned about it. I just kind of happenstanced upon it as a little kid riding my horse.
That's just amazing how the universe works sometimes, isn't it? And I find it very interesting because we have a lot of parallels, because I was in 4-H and I came from the same kind of blue collar background, and several people in my family were dyslexic. So mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is, Carol. Thank you for sharing that. It makes me feel like I'm not alone.
No, you are not alone.
That was a long time ago.
what were some of the things that you experienced early on? I mean, 15 years old, I wish I had started meditating when I was 15. So that, tell us about that. What was that like at 15 to be?
It meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing to me. No, I thought I was cool. You know,
okay.
I did yoga and meditation, thought I was this cool hippie kid. I didn't really understand, you know, what meditation was about, because in the 70s and the 60s, in the environment that I was in, the kids that were meditating, they were stoned. It was a different time. So it was something that I did because I thought it was cool. And then I really didn't start seriously meditating until I was in my late 40s. Hmm. And that was largely because I was a businesswoman, right? And I was very successful and I was very stressed out and I wasn't handling my stress very well. And that's when I got in touch with the Chopra Center, with Deepak Chopra. And that's when I first started learning how to meditate. So that's kind of how all that started for me.
So many people that I talk to, like I just had an interaction the other day, and I mentioned the words. Well, the question to me was, how can I make more money? You know, I'm having a lot of financial stress in my life. And my response was, yoga and meditation.
And
it wasn't very well received. So tell us, what should I have said next? Why meditation and yoga? And how can that help us? Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, money. Money's a big one, isn't it? So when we're talking about money, we're talking about abundance, aren't we?
Yes.
And, you know, money is simply, you know, everybody has a different mentality about money. It can be kind of personal. But I think that a greater question would be, what's a different way to reframe what your friend said? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's fact and there's also truth. So a fact would be something like, I have $10,000 in my bank account, or I have $1,000 in my bank account. A truth is the world is abundant. A fact is, how can I make more money? You know, the truth is, what is accessible to me with what I have right now that's going to move me in the direction of abundance? And meditation can be a vehicle for that. But the truth is, unless you have that experience and understand that process, it's really difficult for people to make that connection. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does.
And so that's why I love doing what I do as a teacher. And that's why I love doing what I do as a coach, because that's what enlightenment means, exactly that, enlightenment, lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that was a good suggestion. It's just really difficult to explain that to a person, because what you're looking at is somebody who may have a paradigm around money, a sticker around money. So that's another issue, isn't it?
We could do a whole show on that for sure. And I say that a lot when guests are on. It's like, wow, you know, we've got like 5 shows that we could do just on these topics alone. But we are at that halfway point. So we're going to take a brief music segue and a little time to meditate, maybe. and then we will be right back with Laura Bender. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
This is Heartstuck, and I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Our guest today is Laura Bender, and we were just talking about meditation. So, Laura, how do we apply this truth to our business life and really use meditation as a tool? And I would imagine that there's many other things that are kind of spokes off the wheel, meditation being the center of that wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, one thing I know from working with business women, because that's my thing, is that meditation really improves our emotional intelligence, our self-awareness. And essentially, our success may be hindered by thought patterns of fear of failure or a sense of guilt that may have a dialogue around, I don't deserve success. And sometimes there's a belief that it's safer not to be powerful or successful to avoid responsibility and its consequences. And that's usually tied to the fear of making a mistake or doing the wrong thing. So it's better not to take action. A lot of times people feel than to be successful. But you know, Carol, all these false thought patterns are based on a false sense of self. And as we meditate and as we learn to meditate and surrender to the divine, we begin to connect and instill with the true self. And so often the false self and its obstructive mental patterns will fade away. And this happens over time. And you begin to connect with your core beliefs and your purpose. So there's a lot of power in spending time in silence. And there are a lot of different meditations out there. There's guided meditation. There's apps. There's an app for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I would honestly say that there's a lot to be said for spending some time, even if you're a regular meditator, to spend some time in silence so you can really connect with the power that's breathing you. And it really will, for you as a business person and for all people as business people, it will help us to come in contact with our emotional intelligence, our self-awareness. And through this connection to self, we begin to learn how to self-regulate. And this improves our social awareness and our relationships. So essentially, meditation is like bodybuilding for your introspection, your ability to really understand what's happening inside of you. And through introspection, it creates our perception and our perception of how we see ourselves, how we see our success. And our thought patterns begin to fall away. And we begin to be even more expansive and less constrictive.
Mm. So one thing that comes to my mind as you're talking here is that blue collar background that I was gifted with when I came into the world. And some of that truths, you know, quote unquote truths, that were taught to me as I meditated, I realized, hey, this is not my truth. This was something mm-hmm. that I kind of accumulated over time, you know, being a human here in the world. And my blue collar truths as I meditated, like you said, it just kind of, those thought patterns over time melted away. It wasn't really an issue of like, well, those are bad. It just wasn't my truth. So is this fairly common? You know, your work, it sounds like predominantly with women. What are some of those thought patterns that we bump up against as women in business? Do you find are common?
I think I would circle back to what I said earlier, which is I don't deserve success. I'm not good enough. An undeserved is something that I hear a lot. There's also often an unforgiveness.
Forgiveness for others or ourselves?
You know, I see both. I see first an unforgiveness of self. I see an unforgiveness for others. So it creates constriction. And when we're constricted, we cut ourselves off from the vibration of true success. And so you see, this is really the power of spending time in silence and the power of meditation. Now, I have to say that meditation is not a magic pill. It is work. It is a practice. And that's why it's called a practice. It's called a practice for a reason, because we're practicing, right? And so when you're talking about beliefs, when you talk briefly about coming from a blue-collar black background, it's circumstances, right? So if we live our life defining ourselves by our circumstances, we will never move into our greatness. We will never connect with that power that's breathing us, right? So those are some of the things I hear women say. You know, a lot. I hear guilt. I hear undeserve. I hear fear of having power or success. And I invite women to step into their greatness, to step into their success. And, you know, all of us have this available to us. Okay, we've got these three really powerful tools inside of us, every one of us. We just don't know how to use them and put them together. So those are just some things that, you know, negative self-talk that I hear. There's so much more, right?
Now, did you say three powerful tools, or did you say three as in?
Three as in the number three.
Mm-hmm. So is it meditation is one of those, and there's two others, are you saying?
Well, I guess if you're looking at a toolbox for self-care, yeah, mm-hmm. that would be, there'd be three tools. One would be meditation. The other, of course, would be having a joyful, happy life, you know, relationships. And the third would be health and wellness, you know. Now, meditation not alone, but a spiritual, you know, a spiritual life. But I'm talking more about a blueprint for success, success tools that all women, well, women, because I work with women, we have the ability to vision the life that we would love. We have the ability to create the dream and the vision of what our career, our life would look like. We have the ability to understand that we have paradigms. We have things that keep us stuck. We know they're there. And we also have the ability to build our careers, our visions, our success. So we have these abilities. We just don't know how to use them. You know, how do you move paradigms off the table, this feeling of undeserve? How do you get rid of them? Meditation is definitely one tool, for sure. And it's probably the most powerful tool that I've found with the women that I've had the blessing to work with. And it's definitely been a stepping stone to the women that I've had the opportunity to work with, to their great success. But it's part of a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is kind of twofold. And I know that you've worked in the past in Montana detention centers, youth detention centers.
Mm-hmm.
Was that alongside of working with women? And why did you feel your niche was working with women
mm-hmm.
in particular?
Okay. Mm-hmm. The first question is around youth detention center. Is the question, mm-hmm. can you clarify that for me, please?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, at what point in your career did you decide my niche, my gift to planet Earth mm-hmm. is to work with female entrepreneurs? And
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then how does the work that you did in youth detention centers fit into that? Was that before you decided mm-hmm. to work with women, or was that kind of an alongside of each other endeavor?
Mm-hmm. So I started working with women in 1989 as an aerobics teacher. And I started, and then I created Bodies by Bender. Actually, I started working in 1982 with women as an aerobics teacher. And then in 1989, when I built Bodies by Bender, my clients were mostly women. So I would say probably for 37 years, I've worked with mostly women and in some capacity. So what brought me to that place of working with women? I would say that I have always seen the brilliance in women and also a longing. And I've always seen the greatness in the women that I've had the opportunity to help get fit and also to be successful. So I've always seen greatness just waiting to emerge through them. And I love that. And I think that that's kind of, that's been my story too. And so I think it just happened that way. It wasn't really my lifetime goal. I came to Missoula to get my master's degree in speech pathology. And my goal, my dream was to work with children. But it turned out I was the best, you know, personal trainer in Missoula. And it turned out that I was able to do a really great job with women. And so, you know, it's just, I guess it's just my skill and my talent. And I love working with women. And I really have found that, you know, we as women, we're so amazing. I mean, we have so much inside of us that we long to share with the world. So it's a lot of fun. And I think it started the moment I handed, you know, I picked up a weight. And I realized that I was really strong and that translated into my self-worth and how I felt about myself. And I wanted to share that with other women. I wanted to help women find their self-worth. And a dumbbell, something as silly as a dumbbell, became a vehicle of great self-esteem and change for many women. And, you know, I also feel that later, teaching meditation, and it just became such a wonderful, loving, incredible vehicle. I actually took a front row seat to watching the women that I had the honor to share space with literally evolve and change and move into their greatness, and I loved it, and I wanted more of it.
Nice.
So that's why I continued.
Laura, we're at that point where we've run out of time.
Oh, boy, that was fast.
It was. And how might people be able to reach you or find you?
The best place to find me is at bodiesbybender.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being our guest. And
yeah, and you know, Carol, I'm also sorry I couldn't answer all your questions.
I know. I'm sorry, too, so we'll have to have you back. That's my solution to that. What do you think?
I love that. Thank you.
Okay. This is Heartstock, and I'm Carol Murphy. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week. Peace.
And on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org.